Welcome to Light Warrior Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Kant, author of the number one best-selling book, Sensitivity is Your Superpower, right here, so I'll remember the title. And harness your gifts, fulfill your purpose, and create a life of joy. And if you are new to my channel, I would love for you to hit the subscribe button. And we have a light medicine community on the app called Circle, and you can actually go to karenkant.com/community and sign up for that. It's absolutely free. We do mini healings and gifts and all sorts of really fun things. And we have a schedule, including the Light Warrior Radio podcast and Who's Up. And today, a very special guest, one of my besties, Jeffrey Gignac. And we're going to talk about abundance, but not just abundance, the path of super abundance and what he has for us. And we just had this, you know, very vivid and amazing conversation before we hit record. Should probably hit record. But we're going to do it all over again. Let me tell you a little bit about Jeff. Jeff and I have been on the TeleSummit circuit for quite a number of years. And in fact, I believe it was Jeff that reached out to me a number of years first. And I got to know him. And we really kind of vibed. I think at that point, you know, Jeff had bought everything that I had created. I was like, who is this guy, right? That bought everything that I created. So we got to know each other. And to this day, he's one of like a handful of people that I truly 100% trust on all levels. So that's why I'm really excited to bring him back to Light Warrior Radio to talk about super abundance and what he's created. And Jeff likes to create stuff all the time, like I do. So in case you are like, who's this person? Let me tell you a little bit about Jeff. So he started his journey at a very young age, and one was the youngest person to get the NLP, so Neuro-Linguistic Programming Practitioner Certification, at the age of 15, which is already incredible. It tells you volumes about him. So he studied psychology at the University of Windsor before becoming a clinical hypnotherapist, licensed master practitioner of NLP, and a world-renowned expert in brainwave stimulation and entrainment. He's a published number one best-selling author, speaker, and coach, and well as one of today's most prolific content creators in the personal development space. I can attest to that. And his love for helping others transcend limitations and live their best lives has made him a fan favorite in the industry. And that is absolutely true. And I know he's worked with billionaires and really helped them. So what does that tell you, right? So today we're talking about super abundance. And Jeffrey, thank you so much for being back on Light Warrior Radio.
Ah, thank you, Karen. I really appreciate it. You know, I love chatting with you whenever I get the opportunity.
Yeah, I love chatting with you as well. And it's such a great just seeing like what you've been developing over the years and how synchronistic, like some of the things that, you know, some things you're describing, and they're like, yeah, synchronistic with like what I'm coming to and I'm describing. It's just really, really neat how that goes. And so we're having this conversation about abundance. And let's first talk about what is a, maybe like a misconception maybe or a misunderstanding that most, in our case, highly sensitive people who are very well-meaning, very generous souls, what's the issue with abundance? They're having a lot of problems manifesting actual physical material money. So yeah. I let you take it away, share whatever history you'd like to share, but my audience knows you pretty well, so just take it away.
All right. Well, you know, this is what I've found. There's, again, like you said, there's a lot of well-meaning people out there that teach all kinds of things. And, you know, I just don't know that they're always the best things for people to know, you know, because here's an example. One of the misconceptions is that is often taught is that people have to be at the vibration to that which they want to attract. That sounds great, doesn't it? Right? You know, it's really great. You know, somebody comes to somebody, why didn't I get it? Well, you weren't at the vibration, right?
Right. You need to be a vibrational match with what it is you desire. We hear that all the time.
Right. And to me, I feel like it's kind of a little bit of a cop-out in a lot of ways. And not that, you know, some people are using it that way, but they may be. But let's take your example that you mentioned, money, right? Here's a question I want to ask to everybody out there. Let's use 10 million. What is the vibration of $10 million? Right? What is it? You know, and what is the vibration of $10 million compared to somebody out there listening to you or to Warren Buffett? What is the, you know, there's, look, the thing is, money, for instance, is neutral. Most things that we want to create or attract into our lives are in fact neutral. Money's neither good or bad. It's all in how we use it. And so how is it that people are supposed to become a vibrational match for that which is neutral? How do you do that? Right? So here's the thing. There is a partial truth, but it's only a partial truth to this whole idea that we have to be at a vibrational match. The caveat is that it's the individual that decides what that vibrational match will be based on their belief systems and perhaps even the way that they want to attract or create that money into their lives, right? So based on how we believe, is it hard or is it easy? Do I want it to come in doing what Dr. Karen Kahn does for a living or what Jeffrey Gignac does for a living? Or do I want to do it in a different way? Maybe something that I'm more aligned with or that are better at. There's a lot of these insistences that we say, well, I don't want to manifest $10 million, but it's got to happen this way. And it's through that process that we ourselves set what the vibrational match we have to be at to be ready to receive it, right? So that's the big misconception that I find really holds people back, you know, and it kind of, the truth is that we can, at least my truth, my opinion anyway, is that there really is only a couple requirements for creation. It is energy and consciousness. Consciousness comes first, and through consciousness is awareness. And so I guess we could say three, but really the natural byproduct of consciousness is awareness, and is consciousness and energy. Whether it be good energy or bad energy is immaterial in a sense to the creation process itself, right? And so one of the things that people, another misconception that people say all the time is that you have to manifest or create from the highest possible vibration that you can. Okay, while that's recommended, okay, it's not a great belief system to work with. And let me explain why. I've worked with some of the highest vibrational people in the world, and they have said, I'd like to create X thing, right? And they decide how they want it to come about. And they were too high vibrational to have it come about in the way that they wanted. It works on the same scale, right?
Oh, it's, okay.
Right?
Okay.
They didn't know it. Most people, like some of the super high vibrational people I've worked with, absolute masters, really don't care about money, really don't care about any, you know, like any worldly stuff. They're not. They're really those people on the mountain eating the bowl of rice with the long beards, you know, and somehow they feel called to do something in the public and they know nothing about it. And they say, well, I'd like it to happen this way. Well, they run into resistance a little bit because it's outside of their vibrational range. They can create it, but when they create it, it doesn't have the effect that they'd like it to have because of their insistence. Now, I kind of went in a weird circle here, so let me start back at the beginning. Two things are required for creation: consciousness and energy. Good or bad is immaterial to the creation process. Where energy is important is to the effect of what's created has on the person that creates it, or its longevity, its life cycle in the environment to which it is created. So in other words, I could create something out of negative energy, and because of that, it may have a negative impact on myself, which I've done, by the way. I've done this, this was the very first $100,000 big payout that I did. I got it in two payments. I think they were 10 days apart, $100,000. I created it out of fear, and it left as quickly as it came in, and it had the life cycle, though, even though it had already gone, the effect of that which I manifested had a year-long negative impact on my life.
Wow.
In terms of creating.
That's a right? long time.
It is. It was a beautiful lesson. It was a beautiful lesson. So while we want you to create the highest possible vibration that you can create from, it's not mandatory. You don't have to And we, yes, we want you to be at a high vibration when you create. It'll have a, but at the highest vibration that's right for you, not some mystical guru on the mountain vibration that you think you have to have in order to create, right? If you have the desire to create something right now, you are likely in the position to receive it. What will get in the way is these belief systems that you have to be at a vibrational match, because you'll think, oh, I'm not ready. I'm not the vibrational match. Maybe it's self-judgment. You know, I've done bad things in my past, or, you know,
I have
whatever
to
it
get
is.
rid of all this trauma in my past in order to get
I
the
have to get rid of all
vibrational
my,
match.
yeah, I have to get rid of all my trauma. I have to get this. So I'm not ready. I'm not good enough. I'm
Have to
not
clear my
whatever.
karma.
My car. Yeah. We make up all of this stuff. The whole idea that we have to be a vibrational match, or we have to be at this unrealistically high vibration to create, is untrue, and it's damaging to people's creation process. And the point that I pointed out about the guru on the mountain and some of the spiritual people that I've worked with, it said, I want to create something, but I want it done this way. Well, they are so far out of the vibrational match for it, because of where they are, they will have to hire other people to create it for them, right? Otherwise, they won't be able to do it. They actually have to sit back. And if they do do it on their own, if they do create it on its own, its life cycle vanishes as quick as it comes in, right? Because they're just too far away from it, because they have insisted it had to be a certain way, right? And so, again, I'm circling back to the idea that we decide, even the super high vibrational people decide, like you, okay, if there is something, you decide what that vibrational match has to look like based on your insistence on how it's supposed to come about and your belief systems around it. You make that up, right? It's you that do it, not
Right. So
anything
if
else.
I,
And it,
okay, can I give you an example,
yeah.
see if I got it? So literally I was like Easter and I was called my mother-in-law and she goes, "Do you guys have Powerball there?" And I'm like, "Powerball, what's Powerball? Was that a game?" She's like, "Well, it's a vault lottery." And I'm just like, "Oh, okay." Right? She goes, "I don't know. Do we have Powerball?" I'm asking my husband. He goes, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure we have Powerball here in New York, right?" So she goes, "You got to go buy a ticket. I will pay for it. And then if you win the whatever, however many million, 700, whatever, $900 million, whatever, give me a couple of million, you can take the rest, right?" But I'm feeling in my body. And I was like, I feel nothing. Like I
Yes.
have absolutely no interest. It doesn't jazz me up. It just was nothing. Like it wasn't wrong or bad. I wasn't making it bad. But okay, tell me about how, okay, so. Does that mean I'm not a vibrational match for that way of manifesting money? Or I'm not allowing the universe to give me that potential way of manifesting money because I'm not vibing with it?
Yeah, well, okay, in that particular case, that's not something you set out to do yourself. This is something that
Oh,
somebody
true.
asked you to do for them, right? And in terms of that
Well, she
whole,
wanted us to have the money because she wants good things to happen for us.
yes, but this wasn't initiated and maintained by you. This
Yeah.
was initiated and maintained in terms of the field of it by somebody else, right? And so, in that sense, probably the best place to manifest that from, if that's something that you even wanted to put energy into, so consciousness and awareness would be from that balance point of neutrality, really that neutral place, and so have it just be the most ordinary thing in the world. But typically, the idea of getting a person's excitement or their enthusiasm or their passion, like the bells ring off, when the hair stands up on my arms, that kind of stuff, that excitement, you know, that's all that's required, really. And whatever is the highest excitement or passion or what you're drawn to, what makes you itch, what Alan Watts would say all the time as the UK philosopher from the 60s, what is it that makes you itch, right? And whatever that is, right? I can't do his voice very well, but with his charming accent, it was beautiful. Whatever that makes you itch, that's for you. That's what you do. That's how you tell what you are automatically and perfectly aligned to. Right. And so The whole idea I want to move people away from is this thing that we have to somehow do all of this crazy amount of work to make sure that we're in this mythical vibration alignment for that which we desire, right? And it's because, and it's our beliefs about that which we desire. Are we worthy of it? Is it hard? Is it easy? Is it this? Is it that? That's what sets the vibrational match for it.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not this so-called neutral, you know, okay. So $10 million is a vibrational of 7.25689, non-changing for anybody. It's always the same. What you're saying, no, it's really flexible based on what your perception is, who you as an individual are.
And what your beliefs are about it, what your beliefs about yourself in response to your readiness to receive it, your belief about what kind of change it'll have in your life, right? Whether those be things you're aware of or not, all of these things are what set the vibrational match for. And so in that sense, there is a truth to it, you know, that, but it's we that set it. Itself on its own does not have a vibrational match. Again, money is neutral. You through what all that is you, beliefs, conscious, unconscious, are the ones that set it. And if you're the ones that set it, you can change it. You can let it go. You don't have to, and the whole idea that I bring up, the only two things required for manifestation or creation is consciousness, is energy, is just to illustrate how simple it is, right? Just require two things. You don't have to get up to the super high vibrational place that you think you should be, right? So the thing, because you are exactly where you are. And if you have a desire that's come in right now that excites you, then you're ready. You've got it. You're automatically there. The only thing you can do to mess it up is to put all these boundaries on it by saying, you know, I'm not ready to receive it, or I'm not worthy enough, or have all these beliefs around, you know, what it means to have $10 million.
Because right, and the guilt.
The guilt, if there's any of that, you know, all of these things. And I don't know about you, but the way I was grown up, I make it sound like I was a plant. The way I was grown up, you know, that I grew up, right? You know, there was that thing. Oh, if I had all this money, then I would be guilty because I'm taking more than my share. That was the hardcore,
super
fundamentalist Catholic point of view.
Yep.
Right. And so many people have had that are, you know, 50 or older, right? And younger people too these days. And so that's an example of an unconscious attitude, perhaps, or an unconscious approach to the world that sets this mystical vibration level that you have to become a match to. And so again, so that's how that truth exists. And so part of my hypnosis and NLP training, one of the things that we like to do is we're not so much concerned about what is true and what is not, but rather what's useful and practical, what can be used. And so here's another misconception that has some truth to it, but it's not useful. There are some things that may very well be absolutely true, but are not useful while we're in this physical dimension with our five senses. So, you know, the idea that we are the law of attraction talks about this all the time. Let's say we are responsible 100% for everything that shows up in our life, right? You understand that one? You've heard that one. Okay. Do you know that that's so pervasive now that they've done scientific research on it, and they've actually proven that people that adopt that belief actually do well on every measure, do worse on every measure of peace, prosperity, happiness, and health. Why do you think that is? I
did not know that they measured that.
They did. Well, because it didn't start with The Secret, but it really spread like wildfire with the movie The Secret.
Right.
And then people started saying, well, okay, if this shows up in my life, then I must have been the vibrational match for it, right? And then therefore it's my fault. And so, oh, I must be a real piece of work, right, than to have the life that I have, right? And so what happens is people, the whatever self-loathing, unworthiness, self-blame that they had just got turned up to 11 instead of wherever it was at the normal one or two or whatever it is, right? And all aspects of their peace, prosperity, and health get worse, right? Now, from if I was in spirit, if I was in this, well, I am, but if I was talking from the position of spirit right now, looking down, and I was fully aware of all the intentions I had in incarnating, whether whether that resonates with people or not, but let's assume that that's a thing. And from that perspective, I could, from that perspective, take the responsibility that everything that shows up in my life is, in fact, created by me. From that perspective, from that perceptual position, that could be a useful way of looking at things. From the perspective of a person in this three dimension, with the senses that we have that allow us to delineate space and time and process the world as we do, whether that's true or not makes no, to me, I don't care whether it's true or not. It's not useful. It's not practical. It harms people. It absolutely harms people. Because the reality is that we kind of share this space and we kind of have this agreement. We're all playing our own game and our own energy and all this stuff like that. But it doesn't give us any information that we can use to navigate this world in a more positive and deliberate way, in a more effective way. It just doesn't. The science even shows that. So again, true or not, I'm not concerned with that. I'm concerned what's useful to people in this three-dimensional space.
Well, let
And
me
what
argue
is,
this just for a moment.
oh, I can't
So
wait.
if I have the awareness that I'm an individuated fractal of source, and I, that what I see out here, right, is a projection of everything in here, which includes the collective reality of all the other fractals of source, right? Then
Yes.
to some degree, what might be useful was going, okay, so I see this projection of our collective reality, and perhaps I'm personally contributed some of that. So what is there that is a potential action for me, or a shift, or a shift in my consciousness, so that that projection of this evil or whatever is going on around me, is, basically timeline jumping to a new reality where it no longer needs to exist because I've already gotten the lesson from it, or we've already gotten the lesson from it. So that's like my languaging that I'm using. So how does that, come into
Well,
play?
again, to me, that's the same thing as saying from the perceptual position of spirit, maybe you could say a little bit of that is more true than not, right? But it's still not useful. What's really useful, and what I've studied all of my life and my gut, ranging back when I'm 15 years old, here's what's useful. Here's the only thing that really, well, I won't say only thing, but it is the main thing that allows people to take control of their life, to put themselves in the best possible position to affect what comes next. It's one thing, and that is this: it doesn't matter what happens, it matters what you do, what shows up. Because you, in this 3D body, you have no idea the kind of agreements or contracts you made from a spiritual perspective. You're not, I mean, unless you're in a rare position to be able to find that out, most people aren't, right? And is it always wisest just to go randomly break these things? Even if you can, maybe not. I don't know, right? I don't know. Maybe it is in some cases, maybe it's not in others. But all of this stuff that I love to talk to or talk about in terms of these spiritual truths, these energetic truths. The question I've been asking myself for years, is it useful? Is it practical? Can I use it?
Can I use it? Yeah, it's a good
And the
question.
answer is, from my position in this body, incarnated here with my five senses or more that, delineate space and time, the only thing that works again and again from the clients that I have that come from the lowest possible financial position to the billionaires, four billionaires that have sought me out to hire, that have had their prosperity and super abundance bleed out
Wow,
because of
I can
all these
imagine.
different problems, is this one thing. Doesn't matter what happens, it matters what you do with it. If all you do is decide that that's what you're going to and strive to respond appropriately to, in the best possible way in every situation, that is all that you have to do to satisfy the requirements of creating and manifesting in a way that will support you from where you are right now into the evolution that you will go through in the future, right? So that's why that example might have been a little confusing when I talked about the ultra vibrational person all of a sudden deciding that they wanted to do something in a weird way, and why, they can get it, but it may not work out for them in a while because it's not, they believe something weird about it and it caused them to go off track. Right. And so they can create from that perspective, but it may cause a ripple effect on them and in the environment that's not best. So the only thing to put yourself in the best, and I've tested this for years, Karen, best possible position, doesn't matter what shows up. It matters what you do with it. And what you do with it is this: strive to respond in the most appropriate way that you can, with your resources, where you are mentally and physically. And then what comes will be able to serve you directly from where you are right now and into the future. What if somebody attempts to bring in something from an unmatched higher vibrational point, other than just responding to the best possibility as they can right now, that's not going to serve the person. It's off their time frame. We're here to learn, to grow, to explore our, I don't know, themes, to explore our whatever it is that we came here to learn, not to jump like over things that we're supposed to learn. So that's, I guess I just want to hug the world and tell them, just do this. Just
I
do
love that,
this
and
one.
that's where your life response frequencies is super helpful because it supports us in responding appropriately. And
Yes.
that has really, been improving and shifting in myself. And that, so I'm kind of harping on it as well in my community, because people will go to the, oh, I've done the visualization, why is this bad stuff still happening? But I can tell they're reacting to it. This is bad, da da da, poor me, I'm a victim, right? Instead of that place where they can respond to that, and in an appropriate way. So instead of automatically go into victim mode, or automatically go, why me, or automatically get angry, upset, feeling guilty, whatever it is, to be able to have that response versus the reaction.
Yes, that's right. And you do the best you can with the resource that you have at any moment in time to respond in the highest appropriate way for you. That's it. And you don't have to be concerned about meeting anybody else's standards. Really, that's too much work. If
That's
you let
awful.
me set the standard for you in that way, that's not going to work for you. Right? It's too much to think about. So all of these things that are taught as truths and realities, maybe they are to some degree, maybe they aren't. But when people, just like that law of attraction one, like we're responsible for everything, it's not useful, it's not practical, and matter of fact, it stops people and it holds them back. And so
I've
this
had
is.
law of attraction coaches basically say, oh, this happened in my life, or say it was like, oh, my house burned down. Well, I must have attracted that.
That's
What did I
ridiculous.
do wrong? Right? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, because what oftentimes things that we perceive as bad are actually catapults that move us in the most powerful direction. The
Abundance
only
challenges, I call
thing
them.
that needs to be done in order to have it move us, like we're on a rushing river of superabundance, is simply to do the best we can with it, to respond as appropriately as we can with it. That's all that's required. Then we are on the river of superabundance. That's it.
Wow.
Right? Then,
well, and then if we don't respond appropriately, Jeff, like yesterday I got triggered and you know, felt defensive or whatever. But then I realized, oh, wow, look at that. I reacted. That's where I know where I'm at, you know? And then I can choose to respond. So I don't have to feel guilty about that or bad that I didn't respond perfectly.
No, because at that moment in time, you did do the best you can at the resources that you have at that time. And guess what? Now you respond differently because now you became aware of something that served you to assist you on keeping you on the river of superabundance, right? So did you dock on a little rock for a second? Yeah. But then you just push yourself off the rock. Now we're flowing down the river of superabundance again, right? It's just, and much like a airplane taking off, that thing is off course all the time, but it takes off on a dime and it lands on a dime, right? Mm-hmm. And it just follows it, that subtle things.
Right, like we do this course correction the whole way.
Yeah. And how you course correct is by striving to respond in the most appropriate way. And if you do catch yourself reacting or responding in a way that later you become aware, oh, I could have done better, then you've learned the lesson you were meant to learn and then move forward in that way, right? You're only going to learn the lessons that are meant for you. You're not going to learn the lessons that are not meant for you. Mm. And so when things happen that are challenging, they can serve you or they can not serve you. And the difference is how we respond. Do we react? Do we respond in a terrible way? And if so, well, maybe that's okay. Maybe I needed to learn what it was that triggered and now I can respond. Mm. Right? If this is front of the mind, front of the heart, even, you will always course correct perfectly what is right for you.
Mm.
Right? And so this is a very simplistic way of approaching the idea of creation, the idea of manifestation. It cuts away all that is not required and puts front and center a very simple and easy path, right? Will you get it right every time? Once somebody says, Jeff, you sold me, I'm going to respond as appropriately as I can, whatever that means, to life as it happens, and I'm going to do the best I can to pay attention to what excites me, what makes me itch, as Alan Watts would say, and what doesn't, and I'm just going to do that. Will there be mistakes? Will that course of action reveal things that are required for you in your path? Yes, it will, which means there will be things that show up that maybe you wouldn't have picked out of a list of things to show up, right? Like you would have said, no, not that one.
I don't prefer that particular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, if you are on the path of using the course correction method of always striving with the best of your ability, resources, in any given moment in time, to do that, you will course correct almost effortlessly. Almost. I mean, the challenges will be there, but it'll be so much easier, so much more fluid to stay on that path of superabundance. Or often I like to see it as when I used to go rafting down Elora Gorge, that big white water on a tube. Might not have been the smartest thing, but little inner tube. But I had a great time. And that's the way I see superabundance. You can stay on there simply by focusing on the simple approach to the world. And, we started off talking about all these misconceptions that may have some truths or may not. And even a lot of the things that I talked about here, in terms of like, no, you don't have to be at the exact vibration because it doesn't have a vibration. You don't even have to think about that. You don't.
It's too complex.
Yeah. And besides, it's an untruth. Like I said, money is neutral. There's no, and if there is a vibrational match to meet, it's the individual that creates it. Right. So even what I said there, well, I said it only to help push people away from this belief systems. I don't actually want people to pay attention to it
Ah, got it.
because, right? Because
Simplified, yeah.
it's just another thing to think about,
Yeah.
right? It's just another,
How am I
oh, great.
creating that belief that the 10 million means this, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yes, he got me to away from one ridiculous rule, but now he gave me something else that I don't even know how useful it is, right? It's more useful, but is it more useful than just simply staying focused on the simple reality that the only course corrections we have to make in life is to strive to respond as appropriately as possible for us, right? Which for us means, what does for us mean? Okay, well, you might want to get in contact with what it is that you'd like out of life. What is it that you brings you joy? What is it that excites you? What is it that makes you itch? What is it that puts the fire in the belly? If you don't have that right now, well, you can think, what would put the fire in my belly to get me to want to wake up at 4 in the morning, like Jeff does all the time, and go and then do the cold
Great.
plunge and then do the sauna and do the fasting and do all this. What could possibly make me want to torture myself like that? There might be an answer, right? Maybe you don't want to push it that far, but there's, so you can contemplate those things and then simply use those, what you love, what brings you joy, what brings you peace, what brings you those things that are important to you, right? Whatever that is. Some people are way past the idea of wanting to have this excitement in their life, and they're at the phase in their life where they really just prefer some peace.
Yeah.
They just want to sip lemonade on a back porch somewhere and watch the cows run across the field. That, and if you ask them if that excites them, they'll go, not so much, but excitement is not what I'm after anymore. I'm not a teenager. What I'm after is peace. So often you'll hear me, and I've heard you do it too occasionally, you go, what excites you? What's your passion? But some of us are in stages of our lives that that's really not, maybe not the right language, right? Instead, it's what are you after? So become familiar with what it is that you're after in the sense of what you want to see repeated daily in your life. And you use that to guide you on how to respond and react appropriately, moment to moment, to the best of your ability. And if you don't do it perfect, you did do it perfect because now you have an opportunity to learn from it. There's really
Okay.
not a lot of mistakes in this process,
So
right?
let
And
me give
if
you a case and see like how you would like counsel or coach this particular person. So this is a mythical person, but I'm combining a bunch of things. So a person who's working at this job, the job is really exhausting. She can barely pay her rent, but she does the job that she doesn't really resonate with, but she's skilled in it. So she does the job in order to pay the rent. And then she comes home, she's completely exhausted. And so her idea of what has to happen. Okay, knows the word has to happen is that her family needs to help her out more. Right? If they don't help her out more, then she's not going to be healthy because she can't be healthy unless she gets more help because she's having to do this job, right, to pay the rent for the family. Anyway, so they're like, well, how do I respond? Well, they need to change, right? Like that's her argument is they need to change. Because I can't be healthy if I'm working this job that I have to work at, right, in order to pay the rent for the whole family. So
Okay,
people get stuck.
so basically what you asked me is, how do I approach people that tie themselves in knots with their own belief systems? That's basically what you just said, right? I mean, that's how I translate it, right? And because that's what this scenario is, right? People have decided that they're stuck here because of this. They are unable to move because of this. They've taken responsibility that is not theirs, and they're and so all of that is inappropriate response and or reaction. The belief system can the birth of a belief system can be an example of an inappropriate reaction, right?
Okay.
Okay. And so I heard all kinds of belief systems that it's not my fault, it's theirs. I'm not saying it's her fault either, but it doesn't help to do that either, right? I'm not saying you got to take responsibility for everything that showed up in your life, However, it's not useful to put conditions on what's outside and say it's that stuff's fault for where I'm at. Right. So, one of the bonuses I'm offering with Life Response Frequencies, by this way, is a workshop called Living Your Highest Passion, which could have been also called Living Your Highest Happiness, Living Your Highest Peace, Living Your Highest whatever, your highest. And it's a 3-part masterclass, and it teaches people how to begin doing this kind of work when they have worked themselves into a box, into a corner their entire life, right? One of the things that happens with men a lot of the times too, it happens with women too, but traditionally it's been more of a man problem. Now it's an everybody problem, but traditionally it used to be more of a man problem, is that they would wake up somewhere in their 40s and go, oh, I have all this debt. I have a wife that doesn't love me. I have kids that don't like me. I have, my cat doesn't even like me. My dog doesn't, and I work this job that I hate, and I do it because I gotta pay the bills and people gotta eat, right? So it's meant for people, this 3-part masterclass is meant for people that all of a sudden become aware that they've worked themselves into what they feel like might be in an impossible corner to get out of. And it's intimate instruction about how to bring it in one bit at a time, right? Because there are moments in everybody's day. So this person, this hypothetical person that you created, so there's a lot going on there. We're not going to tell her to go quit her job, right? Because she hasn't done the appropriate belief system. She can't, because well, not that she can't, but with all those belief systems, and I don't know if the listeners picked them all out. I know you did. I heard you going, yes, negative belief, unrealistic belief, too much responsibility, too much, right? Somebody that exhibits all of that stuff, telling them to just quit their job or meditate 2 hours a day or just respond better, right? That's not going to be all that helpful. What you have to do is teach them how to bring in this little bit of light every day, and that is around the idea of moving towards what makes somebody itch, what they're after, what they love.
Like a little
And
like
yeah,
step.
it's like, putting a shiv in a door. That's probably not a great example. But it just starts to push the edges out a little bit. And then what that light does is that it creates more space naturally, right? 4 or 5 days spending, even starting with a couple minutes, bringing a little bit of this contemplation in, starting at the beginning. What is it that I'm after? Forget all the conditions, forget all what's possible, forget what's impossible, forget all my belief systems, forget all that stuff, all these conditions. Jeff told me, just think about what I would like. What am I after? Is it peace? Is it happiness? Is it money? Is it this? Is it a few things? And we start at the very beginning, bringing that a little bit in. And if we do that consistently, I call it the 50 first dates challenge. Okay. And
Okay.
I came up with this based on a movie that I saw, called 50 First Dates. And it's at that point, it just needs a little bit of consistent regimen. And it can start with even a minute at a time. And this it what it does is it creates space. It creates space, automatically creates more and more space every single day, more and more space. And then all of a sudden there's so much space that a person can go, oh, now I see the opportunities that maybe have been there. I see how prosperousness energy has been attempting to get my attention the whole time. I see how happiness energy has been attempting to get my attention, peacefulness engine. Now I see it. Now I hear it at knocking at the door. Now I can answer it. Right. And that's how this whole process starts for people that are in that hypothetical situation that you describe. The situation you described is equivalent to what's the expression between a rock and a hard place. Right. And so people find themselves are, they just got to start a little bit further back. But and create that space with this approach, the way of approaching the world. And that space will grow, and it'll grow to the point where it'll become extremely obvious what people have to do to get on that path, stay on the path of super abundance, and navigate all those things that show up, right? And that's why I did create this three-part masterclass. It's done over 3 days, and we're giving it as a bonus with life response frequencies, because that's, you know, some people find themselves, especially these days, in that position, and they can do it. It works for them too. It's just they got to approach it a little bit more gingerly in the beginning, and then they can, you know.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of, again, synchronicity, of this book that I'm reading from a colleague of mine from UCLA. We used to work together, Dr. Robert Maurer, and he taught me the Kaizen way, a Japanese term for a little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit, you know, to enact great change. All you need is one step. And one of the stories he had in the book was that he asked this, you know, the single mom of three who had basically 30 minutes a day to herself watching TV. And that was it. And then she had some risk factors, so they wanted her to exercise. So his prescription was, do you think you could march in place for 1 minute during that 30 minutes? And the woman thought about it because she thought they were going to say a lot more. And she's like, yeah, I can do that, right? And so over time, it ended up she started doing it during commercials, right? Because she kind of liked it. And then it just kept building and building and building. So and then she found herself doing it through a lot of the time of that 30 minutes because she liked it so much. She felt so good. She actually missed, if she didn't do it, she actually missed it. So it was like this idea of just that little thing, like you're saying, is like that little injection of, because if it's for me, I'd be like, I'm just going to go and do 20 minutes, right? Right. But for her, it would be like that 1 minute was pretty much taps. And she could tolerate that. And so what you're saying is not forcing somebody else's idea of what your action should be for your journey.
Yeah, you can start simply with contemplation.
Yeah.
And then it naturally builds. The idea of where am I? The awareness, when we're in this body, from our perceptual position, we can only see so far, right? So if you're in a car, you're driving down the road, and you can see, oh, there's a sign up ahead. Ah, now I can read it. I'm close enough. And as you continue to go, other signs show up. And there's signs that tell you, oh, I better get off on this next one. Otherwise, I'm going to go right off track. But what are the conditions for you being able to see those signs ahead? The conditions are that you move. The conditions are that you move forward. And the amazing thing that I've seen in my career, and it is, and actually I cured my first phobia when I was 15, right? So from another person, did a phobia cure. And so I'm turning 53 this year. And so I've been at this a long time. And I can tell you that people that have worked themselves into a corner with the best intentions, right? And those are the people that my heart goes out to the most, because these are more often than not the most loving, caring, responsible people in the world. Yep. And it's part of the reason I dedicated my life to helping these people is that, you know, someone's got to speak for them. And I know you do, right, as well. And it's part of the reason why we get along so well. But it's when these people decide, okay, 1 minute a day, work it up to 2 minutes, 50 minutes, they can go farther and faster and overtake other people that have been at it and that have been maybe a little bit more intentional, a little bit more quote unquote lucky at certain things in life, because they get to take advantage of something we call momentum. And momentum is one of the most powerful earthly forces there is. Right. And so I have seen people, I remember it was about, I want to say it was 2013. I coached this guy. He was just in a desolate place. And I gave him little tiny things. I said, just please just do it. If you trust me, if you anything, just do this. And you're going to build momentum. And you're going to find as you do it that you're going to like doing it. And as you like doing it, you'll start to see opportunities and you will naturally move in a direction. And so I have lots of stories like this. But anyway, in a matter of 2 years, he went from absolutely zero, me being his mentor, to being able to buy my business twice over in 2 years.
Wow.
That's not the case now. I mean, because I've grown and done all kinds of things, but this is just to illustrate an example. Once that momentum starts to kick in, and you take the piece that I've told you, this is the important part. The reason why momentum doesn't work for people or they get off track is because they don't have a reliable way to self-correct. And then the momentum stops. They got to start over, right? As a 50-year-old man, I know if I stop working out for a little while, it's a problem. I can, in terms of getting back into it, it takes a while. And it's a lot that way for a lot of people. But what this person did is he took this and he followed my instructions. Respond appropriately to the best he can. Make a mistake, use that which you like, what you love, that which you're after is your guide to how to respond and how to act and how to move. In the beginning, he didn't know any of it and how to do it. So his first objectives to start to that marching in place was contemplation, right? And I gave him the steps to do. Bam. With that momentum, he took off like a rocket. He didn't have any time for anything to get in his way, right? Where, I've kind of been in that position as somebody who's known as the sometimes, my mentor calls me the prosperity key, whereas that the belief that I will receive what I require quickly and easily has been deeply ingrained in my DNA for a very long time. And so oftentimes I'm not thinking about attracting another $10 million. Because it's not an issue. I will receive what I require, and that's a really happy, nice place to be, right? And so I get to go around in the world and go, well, I guess it's skiing today, or I guess it's whatever it is, right? But when this person got the information, he didn't have that ingrained in his DNA. He said, okay, I'm going to do what Jeff says. I'm going to take this momentum and poof. So for people that are out there thinking, yeah, but I'm 60 or I'm 40 or I'm 35 and the housing market is crazy. It's okay, right? You start from this little small place. And if you're using the right steps to course correct, which I've given you most of it here today, right? And you can, you of course, there's other things you can learn, of course, and just stay in that lane. You will find yourself on the road of super abundance. And you will find yourself excelling faster than you ever thought possible.
That's so beautiful. Wow, you've given us so much value today, Jeffrey. It's amazing. Thank you for your generosity. So I know you mentioned about bonuses and perhaps a freebie of some sort. You're often giving us freebies. So, if somebody wanted to work with you, what do they do?
All right, here's a great place to start. There's this thing that I've made that is called the Prosperity Sound Bath. And so it uses my expertise in brainwave entrainment technology, which we didn't even talk about today, and some of the spiritual and energetic work that I've come known been have become more known for over the years, and put it all together. And it's two audio tracks, actually. One is what I call the sacred clearing and cleaning, which brings in some energetic practices and some spiritual practices that I do, and plus the brain balancing technology that puts the person's brain, their physical body, and their energetic anatomy in a position to be able to let go all of that which is not useful anymore, all of that holds people back. So oftentimes, the only thing that's required for people to let go all the rest of it, first step is hearing things that may sound controversial, like some of the things that I've said. It may be encountering different belief systems, even the things that encountering things that really resonate, yet people still have a difficulty letting it go and making the shift. Well, oftentimes that's just in the pattern of brainwave activity. I've ran the same software program over and over and over again, right? You walk through a wheat field once and you turn back, you don't know where you walk. You'd walk through it 50 times, you clearly see where you've walked. So the way that we typically use our brains create these grooves in our anatomy, our energetic and mental anatomy. And so this helps to trigger certain aspects of the function in the brain to bounce signals back and forth between the right and the left, and actually even more recently, intrahemispherically as well. And so when a person is contemplating or thinking about these things while listening to this, it changes the way the electricity moves, and people find it much more easy just to go, oh, I can let it go. I can let it go. And they just feel their anatomy let go, right? It's just that tool to help let go. And then the second part of the track is what I call responding to prosperity. It's sort of the sacred responding. And it's that piece that helps everyone recognize the ways in which the foundational energy of prosperousness is always knocking at the door. It always is. It's always there, getting your attention. The problem is, do we answer the door? Or how do we answer the door? How, if we do answer the door, how we answer the door is really, really important on how you can receive. And so this sacred responding piece is about assisting your physical, mental, emotional, energetic, and spiritual anatomy to not only hear the door knock, but also assist you in responding in that way that will help you in the highest, best way for you, not for somebody else, not my ideal, but for you. It's set up that way. And so you get both of these audios for free. And what I tell people is, go ahead and download those, use it. You can get it on my mobile app. Once you sign up, you can get it from the web hub and play with it. See how it makes you feel. And then when that time comes, if that time comes, you go, well, I think I kind of like this Jeff guy. Maybe I'll, explore what else he has. You're absolutely free to do that. One of the things that's important for people to know is that I don't have very many front-facing products that people can just come, like you're in a shopping cart, right? And just go, oh, I'll buy this course, I'll buy that course, I'll buy that course. Matter of fact, I don't think I have any now. Well, that's because we're moving websites right now. But traditionally, I have hundreds of products, but I don't have that, they're not front-facing because I insist that people get on my email list first, so that I can build a relationship with them, so that they can get to know my energy. Some people have told me I'm an acquired taste. Maybe I am. And that's okay. But you get to know that. You get to know me and what I'm about. And then you can explore some free things. And then from that point, once you're on my list, you will be able to discover all that which is available to you, should you want to do it. If you don't, and you want to get off the list, you're always free to do that, but you can also
Right.
stay as long as you want, right? As long as
Oh.
you want.
Oh, that's great. Oh, okay. So I'm gonna give the pretty link out, which I still have to connect as of this recording, but by the time the show airs, it'll be up and running. KarenCann.com/prosperity. So it's gonna go right to Jeff's. I'm just reading it here. Immerse yourself in a world of abundance and peace with my new prosperity sound bath. So that's what it looks like. There's some beautiful rocks and trees and stuff in the background, a beautiful background. So that's where it's gonna go. So KarenCann.com/prosperity for your free gift. And like Jeff says, check it out, like feel it, use it, and see if it's fit for you. And then, perhaps if you are needing or desiring more help and support with the response part, I know there's a lot of people that could really use that. I've been using it for years. Then there's the life response frequencies that can be really, really helpful. Yeah. Jeff, is there anything else you want to share with our audience before we say goodbye for today?
Yeah, I just want to say I love you. And I love you all. I love you all. And it's, I mean, I know I don't know you. Actually, there's a good chance I know a lot of you because you said your community and my community seem to have a really big synergistic, and
Yes,
I can't tell you how many
yeah.
people in my community go, hey, did you see what Karen did? Did Dr. Karen Can did? And I go, yeah, of course. And I know you get that
Vice
occasionally
versa,
from
yeah.
my side. So there is a chance I actually do know. In one way, or I'm closer to you than you think. However, I know that there's a lot that I don't, but I'll tell you this, I do have a massive amount of compassion for those that struggle and for those that are looking around right now and going, what the heck? What do I do next? And one of the things that I think is my path and my mission in life is to help people figure out what to do next, that next piece. And it comes from a position of love and understanding. And so that's all. I just want to leave people with that sentiment.
That's beautiful, Jeff. Thank you so much. I always appreciate you being on the show. You have so much value to give. And like you said, our communities are pretty much like, if you think of a Venn diagram, like there's this big, middle part where, people are in both communities and we're always talking about each other. It's really, really great. And yeah, thank you again for the free gift,
You're
karencan.com
welcome.
forward slash prosperity, for that sound bath. I love sound baths. Yeah, I know you have a lot of offerings there, and I'm actually gonna below the show notes, guys. I'm gonna put Jeff's if you want, like, what's his main website, that kind of stuff. We'll put that below in the show notes in case you, in addition to desiring this, want to learn more about what he does. We'll have that. And yeah, thank you so much, Jeff.
Yay!
Thank you. Yay.
My
All right,
pleasure.
great. And so thank you, Jeff. And thanks, everyone, for listening in to this episode segment of Light Warrior Radio. We'll see you next time. Big love, and be beautifully nice to yourself and love yourself. And we love you too. Okay. Bye, everyone. See you next time.
Bye.